call the special House Committee on Fisheries to order at 5:03 on the 18th of March. We have one bill before us tonight. It was one that's extended from the last meeting we had, House Bill for 514. As amended, we have the new version in front of us that we amended last week. Do we have people on teleconference?
Yeah, it won't be hooked up for 10 minutes, so we'll have to, if there's any testimony.
Do we have people to testify today? Do we have anybody testify?
Jeremy Kuhn and I think Carl also wants to testify.
Carl, did you want to testify?
Yeah, I'm prepared to.
All right, why don't you come forward and give your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Carl Olds, Development Specialist, Department of Commerce and Economic Development. I've provided the committee with written testimony. I'll just summarize the main points of that. At the Department of Commerce, we generally support new and creative ideas and ventures in the seafood industry. Finfish farming fits in that category. Just want to offer the committee a few cautions on that. Based on our experience with the existing seafood industry, we found that just setting up a system for the industry to obtain its permits and start operating is not enough. The seafood industry is a highly volatile industry for a number of reasons, and I'd just like to point out a few examples on that. First of all, the current salmon industry we have right now, we're spending a lot of time at Commerce on trying to help the industry with the international market situation, looking at value-added products, how to compete internationally in a global marketplace, organizing the administration's response on a whole wide variety of subjects. And this is just to demonstrate that even with a very mature industry like the Alaska salmon industry, you can get hit from outside by forces you might not see for some time. And that you have to be prepared to put considerable government resources into backing up that industry, especially when there's already a lot of investment and a lot of constituents who are working in that industry. Another example is oyster farming. I think that would be a real good one for finfish farming. In that case, the oyster farming industry was created by the legislation that banned salmon farming, set up a system where shellfish growers could obtain permits. Since that time, they have struggled. The people, the entrepreneurs that are working as shellfish farmers have had a real tough time trying to get their industry off the ground. They've got a very complicated permit system they have to go through, and once they're set up, that's it. They've had to struggle to find markets, technical support on how to design their facilities, on trying to keep up with new developments in the industry. Trying to find a way to market their products. This has all been left to them, and it was certainly to their credit that they've done so much, but I think looking at their example, there's a better way to where the state can participate and help, and I think some of those lessons could be used for finfish farming. Our final area example is salmon hatcheries. Again, that was a program that was set up with a lot of hope and optimism. Thought was once the salmon came back, everything would be fine, prices would be high, everybody would be happy. Things didn't turn out that way. The hatcheries have been in a real struggle to try and keep up with the industry to find products and markets for the fish that are returning. And again, that just shows the need for planning. You're going to get into something, What's it going to take to follow it through to success? And we ask the committee to take those same thoughts into consideration with finfish farming. You're going to create expectations, raise hopes. People are going to be getting into this for profit and success. What's it really going to take as far as markets, value-added technical support to make that possible? And we just offer that to our the committee as our concern. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any questions? Thanks. Next to testify here is Jerry McCune.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry McCune, President of United Fishermen of Alaska. And I need to ask you a question here since I wasn't here for the whole committee meeting. We've taken salmon out of the bill now. And we're on to exotic species or other kinds of...
Other types of fish.
Okay. Putting that in a spreadsheet. Thank you very much. Well, I was here in 1990 when we took on this whole issue, and the one area we need to talk about this other kind of fish, if there's non-native stocks, I oppose that for sure, because we don't want to bring species that aren't native to Alaska. And then if we're talking about Arctic char or some of the other species, then we move them into areas where they're not native to. That wouldn't be such a good move either, so I'm not sure exactly where we're going with the whole bill, but from here on in. And so leaving it at that, the non-native species, I kind of oppose that, depending on, you know, you're going to have the same conflicts too that you would have in fish farming if it's in the water, because you have the sites. I went through this with DEC. We went through the shellfish farming, so we had to identify which areas would be open and which areas would be conflict, because most, like Prince William Sound, for example, almost every point or area where you would want your farm, where there was tide and different flush out areas that would support a farm, then you had a conflict, because that's right where they hook haul, and the boats are very intense in the summer. So I guess I'll just stop there, because I'm not sure exactly what species we're talking about to move on.
Questions? Representative Hogan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. McCune, in retrospect, and in light of the competition from Lower 48 and international interest in fish farming, do you think it was a wise thing to oppose fish farming 5 or 6 years ago?
I think it is, because for number one, if we're talking about wild stocks, which grow real slow because this is cold water, and the feed that you have to transport, I think we made a wise move, because in Canada, where you can drive to the farm, half the people that applied for farms are broke. Those farms are no longer in existence. And the competition factor, this is part of the problem we're having in the industry, the fishing industry itself right now, is like the Yukon, the farther you get away from the marketplace, the transportation costs become high, and all the other costs, the processors are looking at that to compete in the world market now. The farms in Canada, they're right next to the market. I don't know how we would compete with that. And also in Norway, they're subsidized, and in Chile, they have real low labor costs. So right now, in the world global market, the Norwegian government has ordered them to cut back on the farm fish. Is this too many fish? We can't sell it all. We can't move all this fish in the market. And in Chile, Japanese farmers have ordered their farmers to cut back. In Canada, it's already weeded itself out, the ones that were strong, and they made alliances together to survive. But mostly the key thing here is the success in fish farming is where? It's in Atlantic stocks, which is a brown trout and is non-native to this country here in Alaska. And in Norway, I can show you papers that the escapees took over the wild stocks in Norway. And so now they started a gene pool to try to get their wild stocks back, because the Atlantic salmon wasn't native to a lot of those stocks. So I think we made a wise choice looking at the glut of salmon on the market today.
curious about that. Thank you.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had, you know, I was looking where it might be included in the bill to where non-native species would be exempt and maybe not allowed, and also the relocation of species from one area of the state to another. But it may be in here. I would ask the drafter when he comes back, and of course it may be in, because there are plenty of areas in the legislation that it references other statutes, and I'm not sure exactly what those other statutes relate to, but that would also be a concern.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davis, as far as I know, in Title 16, that if I remember right, we cannot import non-native stocks to the state. We can't move eggs from one area to another that are not native to that particular area. We cannot sell eggs such as they did in Washington. They sold a lot of those eggs to make money to other countries. And all those things are prohibited, if I remember right, under Title 16.
Mr. Chairman, so you're saying that they are spoken to and exempted from participating?
As far as I remember, and I didn't look it up today.
I think that is the intent of the drafter also.
I don't know if we have anybody from Fish and Game here.
Yeah, we do have. We'll have a representative from Fish and Game come up. Any further questions from Mr. McKeown? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Bruce Jarin, you want to testify?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee members, for the record, my name is Jarin Bruce, representing the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I guess I continue a little bit from where I ended at your last meeting. I know you're running out of time, and we asked for an opportunity to review the committee substitute. We've had a chance to do that. And have you received the fiscal note that we prepared yet? Okay, so that has some detail in it, and I talked briefly on the phone with the sponsor about the before we prepared the fiscal note, but unfortunately was not able to get together with him before this meeting. Essentially, the concerns that we have, I'm not addressing the concern of whether it's in terms of economic development or other public policy issues which you folks make calls on, whether it's good for the state to do finfish farming or not. I'm just trying to outline the responsibilities for the Department of Fish and Game, the concerns that we would have, the things that we would have to undertake in order to make sure that any development in that area was done in such a way that it did not harm the wild stocks and was did not contribute to any disease problems in the state and was a well-managed, well-regulated, healthy industry. So those are the concerns that I am addressing and are laid out in the fiscal note. Essentially, if you're working with wild stocks in the state, especially if you're engaged in net pen technology, you are in an environment where both your fish can escape and mix with wild stocks, and you can transmit disease from your farmed stock to the wild. So those would be the two of the main areas that the department would have to set up in order to do the best we could in regulating and providing guidelines to the farming industry to prevent disease outbreaks spreading to wild stocks from farms and from to ensure the genetic integrity of our wild stocks. And that's very important because these animals have evolved over long periods of time, a particular genetic makeup that enables them to survive in the particular environment in which they find themselves. And changes to that genetic makeup based on farmed behavior and farmed practices could result in less success if it was transmitted to the wild, and less success in those animals dealing with the challenges that they face in the wild environment. And that's why genetics is such an important issue. I guess, you know, you also need to take a little bit of a look at what has been going on in the shellfish farming industry and and gives you an idea of some of the challenges that the state faces in starting a new industry. You know, a few years ago, about 1990, shellfish farming was authorized in the state, and the state moved forward with a very small program, depending to a great extent on private entrepreneurs to pioneer it. That industry is really struggling today because it's very difficult to start up a new industry, especially in a state like Alaska with high operating costs, without some assistance from the government. And one of the things that the shellfish farmers have needed very much has been a hatchery to provide brood stock for their farms. They're working with a species that doesn't naturally reproduce in Alaska, and so they need a source of brood stock, and they have not been able to come up with them, so they have had to import stock into the state from approved oyster farms in the Pacific Northwest. And we did get some money through a capital project through the Exxon Valdez settlement to construct a shellfish hatchery and mariculture center, which is now, which the bids have come back on and is proposed to be located in Seward. But we are struggling with the financial realities of trying to operate that facility in an era of declining budgets. And it's, we may be able to put something together, but it's very rudimentary. And I think many of the folks in the shellfish farming industry would bemoan the fact that they have not had more assistance from the state in the regulatory and technical support area in developing their industry, and they're having a very difficult time going it alone. So I think some of those same concerns apply to finfish farming. You are going to need some way to get broodstock, for example. You probably are going to require hatcheries. It's not going to be practical for farmers to go back to the wild each and every time they want to get more eggs for whatever species they're working with. They're going to be looking for some cultured source of eggs. And most of the salmon farming operations, all the salmon farming operations in the world, rely on some hatchery source of eggs. So where is the hatchery infrastructure going to come from for the farming industry in Alaska? We're having a devil of a time getting together one just for the shellfish industry, and that's working with a species that has a lot of things going for it in terms of the market. It's a high value product. It's very well known, and there's a lot of demand for it. And other places in the world, as a result of pollution and other factors, are having more and more difficulty producing the kind of product to meet the demand. But even there, we're having a difficult time. So. But in addition to genetics, in addition to disease, broodstock acquisition is going to be a very significant issue, which the Department of Fish and Game is going to be responsible for regulating and possibly providing through some kind of hatchery system if that should be the legislature's desire down the road. So I guess, you know, I really end my testimony there and try to answer any questions. I have with me in the room Jim Cochran, who is the program manager of our shellfish farming program, and as that probably provides the closest model to what is being proposed in finfish farming, he may be able to answer some detailed questions that you might have about what have been some of the obstacles in establishing the shellfish farming industry and what would be some of the hoops that we would be going through to get this regulatory and technical support program up for this program in the state. And you can see, looking at our fiscal note, that, you know, we don't estimate that it would be an inexpensive program. The first year, of course, we would not have any. We understand the sponsor's intent to have this be an industry-supported program. But the first year, of course, there wouldn't be an industry. We'd be promulgating regulations and just getting things in place. So the very first year there, we show a straight general fund funding source. And then in subsequent years, it switches over to program receipts as the sponsor envisioned. But that first year, it's going to be impossible, I think, to avoid a general fund appropriation because you have no industry to get program receipts from. And then, you know, just to give you an idea, we assumed that there would be, you know, 50 farms applications the first year, and then we tried to lay out our assumptions thereafter so you can see what kind of fee structure would result from that in order to generate the kind of program receipts needed to cover these expenditures.
Thank you, Sharon. The question that was raised by Jeremy Kuhn in reference to non-native stocks and moving fish in other parts of the state. Now, it's my understanding also under Title 16, 4130 and 143 that is prohibited at this point in time.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe the importation of non-native stocks is prohibited in statute. The sale of eggs is prohibited in statute, but I think we have procedures to allow non-native stocks into the state. For example, the oyster farming that is going on is using a non-native stock. But again, I think that's a technical question that perhaps Mr. Cochran could also address, or we could look into it. But we do have some provision for non-native stocks to be brought into the state. As a general policy, we discourage that, and we have grave concerns with the consequences of that. I mean, you can look all over the world and see the consequences of the importation of non-native stocks into a situation and then having that situation get out of control. You know, there are some environmental consequences that are not very good. So when we do allow it, we do exercise great control and try to prohibit anything getting out of control. But I don't believe we do have a statutory ban on it.
Isn't there a perceived problem right now with pike that have been introduced into the state?
Mr. Chairman, there definitely is more than a perceived problem. I mean, there's no question that pike are a ferocious predator and have gotten into some waterways that we would very much like to get them out of and are having some consequences. And that's a good example of the kind of thing that we would be very keen to prevent in the future. So we'd be concerned about keeping the animals down on the farm and not letting them get off the farm, and of course that's not an easy task, especially given the weather conditions and the geographic situation we have here in Alaska.
I just reread the statute again on 16-4130, and it speaks to the importation of aquatic plants or shellfish. Doesn't speak to finfish. And 1641-40 does talk about the limitations of transfers of stock by permit only.
Right. We do have a system where any transfer, native or non-native, has to receive a permit and be approved and go through a process of screening.
So if we wanted to exclude the importation of non-native stocks of finfish, then we need to address that in this bill somehow.
Mr. Chairman, I believe so. I haven't researched that specific question, but to the best of my recollection, I don't think there is a specific prohibition in statute to that effect, but I guess before I gave a final answer that you went to the bank on, I'd like a chance to research the question a little bit.
Thank you. Representative, you got any more?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was following along the same line of questioning that you were going. It was my understanding non-native stocks were not that big of a concern in relation to the fact that, from a practical position, Jaron, would you envision the department issuing a permit for the importation of any non-native stock?
Through the chair, Representative Mulder, well, just because we have the situation with oysters, I can imagine a situation that would develop where you would. I think it would be unlikely. I mean, one of the reasons why we may have allowed oysters, and Jim would be better able to answer the details of this, is that the water here is cold enough that they can't naturally reproduce, so they're not going to proliferate out of control and affect the natural environment. But that could be the case with some other species as well. But I think it would be unlikely, and I think that probably it seems like it would be somewhat natural for Alaskans to turn more towards looking at native stocks for this kind of endeavor.
That was my point, Mr. Chairman. I think the problem is more of a perceived one than a real one. Certainly the department is not going to allow or issue a permit for a non-native stock that's going to endanger a native wild stock. And they have a pretty good handle on that, obviously. They're perhaps one of the best in the country or the world in relation to controlling and utilizing and expanding stocks.
Further questions of
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Davis.
I was, Jaron, you might let me know whether you should be the one to answer or the other individual you have up here. But what is the habits of the halibut? Do they breed here, or are they like in our waters?
Well, I'll if Mr. Cochran wants to add to what I say, I'd welcome him to come on up. But generally, we don't know a lot about what the halibut do. I mean, there's some general knowledge that they breed in deep water, but I think there's not a lot of knowledge on that. Jim, you want to add anything to it?
That's true. They're deep water spawners offshore. Basically, the first time we pick up any indication of halibut, we pick up the larvae in the open ocean. In the Gulf, so there's very little known about natural spawning of halibut. So they have reproduced those in an artificial hatchery environment. They can spawn halibut in a hatchery environment.
Would you like him to come up and identify himself for the record, Mr. Chairman?
You better. We're having a hard time picking it up on the tape. Go ahead and have a seat. Identify yourself.
I'm Jim Cochran, Department of Fish and Game Mariculture Coordinator.
Thank you, Jim. Would you restate what you just said about the halibut, please?
Halibut are deep water spawners, probably midwinter. They spawn offshore, as far as we know. And from the reports I've seen, they don't really know all of the habits, or certainly any of the habits of halibut spawning, other than they pick up halibut larvae in the open ocean in the spring. They have reproduced, or they have been able to get halibut to spawn in a hatchery environment. Certainly Atlantic halibut have been spawned commercially. Pacific halibut have been spawned experimentally.
Thank you. Further questions? I know the non-native stock issue has arisen several different times, and I don't know whether it's necessary to put something in this bill that really addresses it. It would be very simple to do under the title that I read a few minutes ago in reference to importation of aquatic plants, just by adding pinfish into that. Representative Mulder, you have...
Mr. Chairman, my only consideration about that limitation is when you're introducing it to a semi-wild environment, rivers, waterways, what have you, in terms of the farming. But there is an industry that is developing where the farming is actually done just in tanks, a secure environment, which doesn't pose a risk to the wild stocks at all, because certainly they're not going to be released into the wild. And that flexibility, I think, would be desired to be retained. But beyond that, I haven't got a problem.
This this statute, if we added finfish into it, the last part of it says, unless authorized by a regulation of the Board of Fisheries. So the Board of Fisheries would have the option of going back through by regulations and allowing the stocks.
Mr. Chairman, it seems to me through previous testimony that the Board of Fish was not really desirous of having too large of a role in this process. And they basically viewed themselves as an allocative body as opposed to a policy body. And I think the policy, in terms of the regulation itself, that's more left up to the department to be able to provide security for the wild stocks and yet make some allowance for that potential grower or farmer to be able to do some tank farming. Would that be how you'd interpret it, Jaron?
Through the chair, Representative Mulder, certainly I think the department would provide our best information about the risks there or and how to manage any risks that might be associated, but I think the policy call should be made by some entity other than staff for the department and either the legislature or the board. I think the board has played a role, both not only the Board of Fisheries, but the Board of Game in this area. I don't know, without asking them, whether or not it's something that they would like to get out of or not, but I do feel and that the public is best served by having some public process, either the board or the legislature, make those kind of decisions rather than the department alone.
I'm concurring, Mr. Chairman, with what Jaron is saying, in that we as a legislature, personally, being consistent with what we had done previously, not trying to endanger wild stocks, I support that. My only thought was we have the policy ability here to make the statement, as long as it is not endangering wild stocks, you know, that on a permit basis, the department could issue a permit if it was determined by the department it was not going to endanger wild stock. That's really what I was getting to, as opposed to, you know, pushing it to the Board of Fish, making the allowance, but on a permit basis only. So, and I'm not sure how that fits with the amendment that you were looking at, but that was my consideration.
I guess I was thinking more in the pike situation, if they were to want to introduce pike into the state and some kind of farming, and they were to do it in a river system someplace by farming off, you know, you'd want some protection to keep that from happening.
I concur with that. I'm not, all I'm advocating for is the allowance or the potential window of allowance for some tank farming, if that would be economically viable.
Further discussion?
And I'll certainly work with you, Mr. Chairman, to try and come up with that amendment.
Mr. Chairman, we'd like to be included in working on that amendment because we want to make sure that the process is consistent. And for the existing fish transport permits, they are developed under regulations promulgated by the Board of Fisheries. And the way we read this statute, these would be promulgated under the Commissioner's authority. And we just want to make sure that if we're not doing it the same way, there's a good reason to do it in a different way. So if we could just be included in that, and we could appraise you of our recommendation or our view on different approaches to accomplishing what you're trying to accomplish, we'd appreciate that.
That'd be fine. This bill goes to resources as the next committee, which I sit on, and so. When we get to resources, I probably will have some type of thing drafted up between Representative Mulder and myself in the department.
Sure.
Any further questions of the department? Okay, I believe we have, we're on teleconference now, and Janice Adair wishes to testify. Janice, are you there? Yes, go right ahead. We've got about another 5 or 6 minutes, and we want to try to wrap this up.
Okay, yeah. These
could you turn?
Quite minimal.
Can you
turn
that up a little bit?
On starting at line 30, we would recommend that subsection 10 be deleted. And then again on page 4, on line 3, section 3, we would recommend that be deleted. The rationale here is that section 10 deals with the National Shellfish Sanitation Program, and that really isn't applicable, has no standards applicable to fish farming. Instead, we would recommend recommend that on that same page, line 18, finished farm product be added to the definition of finished fisherman's product. And I think we get to the same place as well that meter passion.
Janice, you just lost us.
I apologize. Yeah, I should have gotten this in writing to you.
CS. She didn't have the CS, apparently.
She does have a CS.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm working from the C version dated 3/11/96.
That's the one.
Okay. And I've only got 8 pages on that, so I'm kind of confused to where you're on page 10.
Oh, that was subsection 10 on page 3.
Okay. I thought you said page 10.
Okay, again, I apologize.
All right. I'm going to have to ask you to go back through with what you just said. Starting from the beginning.
Okay. Subsection 10 on page 3. It starts on line 30. It reads monitoring finfish farms, aquatic farms, finfish farm products, and aquatic farm products to ensure compliance with this chapter. And then continuing on the next page and the requirements of the National Health and Sanitation Program Manual of Operations.
Okay. Okay, got that one.
Okay. Continuing there on page 4, starting at line 3, section 3, that says 0305-040A is amended to read, on any business day during the usual hours of the business, the commissioner or an authorized inspector may, and it continues on through line 9.
Okay.
We recommend deleting that paragraph in its entirety.
So section 3 out altogether, you wish.
Correct. And then the additions that we would recommend to the bill, go back to page 3.
Okay.
You've got the, starting on line 25, paragraph 9. And 9 has got two subparagraphs, A and B. We would recommend adding a subparagraph, C, that would read, and for fish farms, comma, water quality. So that would mean that the department would establish standards and conditions for the operation and siting of aquatic farms and related hatcheries and the finfish farms, including for finfish farms, water quality. That is one of our major concerns with finfish farms.
Okay, we've got that.
Okay, and then going back to page 4, line 18, and this is the definition section for fish or fisheries products. We would recommend that there on line 18, it says amphibians or aquatic plants or parts of those plants. We recommend adding after plants, fin fish farm products.
Okay.
That way they become what a fish or fisheries product is and subject to the same inspection requirements. And I think accomplishes the intent of the section 3 that we recommend deleting.
Okay, got it.
And that's it for us.
Okay, thank you, Janice. Any questions from any of the committee? Janice, would you make sure that you fax that stuff down to us?
I will, absolutely. I'll do it first thing in the morning.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes, Representative Ogun.
Ms. Adair, you're recommending deleting whole sections of existing statute in addition to the amendments on section 2, page 3, line 30, paragraph 10, and then subsequent language on section 4. I'm kind of curious why you're recommending the whole paragraph being deleted.
Through the chair, Representative Ogun, all I meant was to delete it from this bill. Those, including finfish farms or finfish farm products, they're on page 3 and subparagraph 10. That doesn't make any sense because that section deals with an
Okay, I understand. I had interpreted that you wanted the whole paragraphs deleted. And
thank you for clarifying that. Sorry for the confusion.
No problem. You essentially just don't want the new language underlined amendments. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
I think we've all got it. Never mind. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any any problem with with those amendments now, or do you wish to have them in writing first? Or Representative Mulder, do you have any problems with her suggestions?
Mr. Chairman, I have no problem if you would adopt a conceptual amendment to include that language.
Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Any opposition? Okay, that conceptual amendment is adopted, and we'll get it in writing and have it in the bill before we pass this on next committee. Anybody else on teleconference that we've missed? Anybody else in the audience that wishes to testify on this bill? Hearing and seeing none, what is the desires of the committee? Are there any more amendments or discussions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davis.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate your comments indicating that you will carry the concerns as far as the non-native species and those concerns. It's a good thing we discussed that. I think it's a real valid concern. And since it isn't specified in the reference statutes and with the sponsor agrees, so we'll leave it up to you to carry that on to resources. I would at least appreciate that.
Okay. Anything else? Representative Davis.
I guess that we need to adopt work draft F. So I move that we adopt work draft F series dated 3/14/96.
Any objection to adopting work draft F? Hearing none, work draft F is before us. I suppose technically we ought to go back and do the conceptual amendment to this then with Janice Adairs so we have it officially.
Yeah, that's fine. Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we adopt the conceptual amendments offered by DEC to the work draft copy.
Any objections? Hearing none, work draft F was amended as before us now.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davis.
Mr. Chairman, I move we move CS for House Bill 514 Fish with the conceptual amendment, attached fiscal notes, and individual recommendations.
Any objections? Hearing no objections, work draft F of House Bill 514, Fish, as amended, as moved out of this committee to resources.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That's all we have at for this committee. We'll adjourn at 5:48.